First Hole is sponsored by Buhong Beer. That's Buhong Beer.
Rob, it's time to open Fessame.
Okay, let's do it. Really fancied my boss at work, so I've started dressing a little bit sexier in the office. My boss didn't notice, but one colleague did very much. We've now been married nearly 10 years. He definitely thinks I was trying to get his attention and not the boss's. That was me, Dave. That was my confession. I was trying to dress sexily.
Oh, damn.
And now I'm married. Married to the whole photocopier. Everyone.
I was going to say, who did they marry? Like, there was inferior to the boss, didn't get what they were aiming for.
Had to marry the janitor.
Settled for the janitor, yes, exactly. Very much noticed. I was dressing really messily, dressed like a piece of litter.
I had to marry the person who serviced the vending machine.
I had loads of chocolate bar wrappers sticking out of my pockets. Really caught their attention.
Oh, I can throw in another confession of that, because there was one that went up on the site the other day that I quite enjoyed, and it was someone saying how they normally, when they go up, they get a Fanta and a Twirl, but there was someone behind them, so they only got the Fanta because they felt a bit shamed by getting too many sugary things at the same time, and they're never going to forgive that person for standing behind them. And it's just like, how you feel sort of judged by strangers, you know?
There's that thing, isn't there, when women walk into a room and they notice men, like, do that posture where they suck in their guts.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, like me going into the swimming pool, yeah. Welcome to the Fesshole Podcast, where Rob Manuel and David Stevenson take this week's most awful confessions and wonder why we thought of asking people to confess horrible things in the first place. I'm Rob Manuel, and I've been running this Fesshole account for 5 years.
And I'm David Stevenson, and I get dragged into Rob's projects, regardless whether I want to or not.
And we've been friends since we were children.
Regardless of whether I want to or not.
Our producer tells us that we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review wherever they get their podcasts.
And this is a special episode where we're actually in the same room.
Can you explain why, Dave? Because this was all your idea, wasn't it?
Basically, we're always talking over each other on the microphone, so I thought this way we could talk over each other in person instead.
Do you remember other times we've worked in the same room?
When we were doing stop motion animation and drove each other insane. Like, absolutely denying reality because we're so enraged with each other.
What was particularly difficult about that, to do stop motion, you need to make the lighting between each shot identical because otherwise it'll be flickery. So we had to have no natural daylight. I had to cover all the windows in tin foil and work in there with you in this tiny room.
It's because of cloud shadow, which people don't really think about. But when you're doing stop motion, you have to take into account all sorts of weird things. So we're in this room with no natural light. I mean, it didn't just smell of that, but it smelled very heavily of plasticine.
Plasticine and two men.
Two men sweating over plasticine models.
And rage with each other. I'm just going to move it a little bit.
Oh, do you remember when we did that whole sequence and there was a pube in the middle of it?
I've forgotten the pube.
Yeah, we did a whole sequence and it was intense. And the climax of the piece was it was all these characters moving and it was really difficult to do. And so we moved them all together and they ran together and they smushed into a ball, all these characters into a ball and went, ah! And then we did it, and then we edited it, or you edited it, and then when you'd edited it and finished it, there was a pubic hair that just danced across the screen.
Was it mine or your pube? Could we work out from the colour?
I didn't hold it close to compare. Yes, it did rather steal the scene.
Was that the Amnesty International one? It was the rolling ball one, was it?
It was, yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
Could have been screened.
Yeah, this is not what the subject's about, but yeah, it could have been the comedy cuts one.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
And the specific thing was we made it and we had to do it on the cheap in about 3 days because it was a time limit and we made it in the wrong aspect ratio.
Oh my God.
I remember we made it in 4:3 instead of 16:9.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then the guy who commissioned it was like, this is television 101. How do you not know this?
Television 101. I do remember when we were working and your laptop, literally the flames came out of the laptop and it ruined like about a month's worth of work, which could happen to anyone, genuinely. But then every single person you spoke to for about a month said, oh, you should back things up. Then you don't lose things when your laptop catches fire. And it's the most enraging thing.
I have no memory of the laptop catching fire. I've got a memory of a hard disk failure where we lost loads of work.
Hmm. I definitely remember seeing smoke.
Okay. But, okay. It could be a sequence of events where there was smoke. I didn't then back it up.
But it's like at the point at which you've lost all your data, you don't need to be told to back things up that it's a good idea. Like, I do know this. It's like when you bang your head and someone goes, careful. It's like, if I'd have...
Coming down here tonight, this, again, it did remind me also of the... When I worked with Ben Wheatley, the guy went on to be the well-known director, and we were developing some website for someone and went to the pub and got absolutely destroyed. And I left the laptop in the pub.
Oh.
And I think that broke our working relationship.
Oh, my God. That was the Meg 2.
Yeah, that was Meg 2. Yeah, he became a billionaire film director. But to be fair, what he said to me, he said it wasn't that I lost the laptop that was the problem. He forgave me, and they said it was that him turning up on the doorstep and trying to pay me for the work and me being so upset that I'd lost the work that I sort of like gave him the check back. And he just thought I was so mad for trying to give him the check back.
Oh.
Anyway, it's the week in Fesshole, isn't it?
It certainly is.
The week in Fesshole.
So this week, we're talking about the three confessions that most caught my eye. My eye, Dave. Shall I go into the first one?
Which one of your eyes?
Well, my right eye is my dominant eye, and my left eye is the one that just
submissive
catches.
Eye.
Yes. Okay, so my dog won't eat dog food. He only eats freshly cooked chicken. Going through hard times lately and starting to feel animosity towards him as I sit there eating a tin of beans straight from the can as he tucks into his freshly cooked chicken thighs.
You try getting food off a dog, though.
I just loved the mental image of it. I could see the whole movie of that, and it was like some kind of like 1980s Polish kind of film I'd watch late night on Channel 4 in the 80s.
Is it about a man who kind of envies the dog and eventually starts masquerading as a dog so he can get chicken thighs?
Can you send that to Film 4 and get some budget so I can watch it, please?
I thought this was going to go a different way when he said, my dog won't eat dog food. How does he smell?
Like Daniela Westbrook.
What?
Sorry. Do I need to contextualise that? No. It's a very mean joke from the past that I shouldn't have said. For me, that's like the best of Fesshole. It is like, and it just gives you this very pure little vignette mental image. And like loads of the replies were people like offering kind of advice on like, oh, you should just sort of buy food for yourself. Dog can eat scraps. No. The point of this is the beautiful mental image, you numpties.
I like the purity of that. Like, you should buy good food for the human. The dog can just eat leftovers.
Just don't feed him for 3 days and he'll be fine. And it's like, the guy knows.
Get the dog to get a job.
On your bike, dog. Right, the second one I enjoyed this week. In my old job, I got asked to make a poster for a nightclub for free as my boss owned the nightclub too. I hated him, so I put almost no effort into it, taking maybe 5 minutes to make a half-assed poster with the absolute bare minimum. They loved it, and it's still up 7 years later.
Oh, what a failed bit of revenge.
I mean, what I liked about it was I thought it got to the heart of like the thing of like sometimes the way you can make good work is through pastiche and parody because it means you can turn off that voice in your head saying, mustn't do that. And you can reach for some of that low-hanging fruit.
You can also do it by just trying to make the worst thing that you possibly can and see where that takes you.
That does lead to...
Not the worst, morally worst thing.
No, I just wanted to know, if you were trying to do this podcast from scratch, from the top, with the idea of trying to make this the worst version of the idea.
I think we're probably doing it outdoors. That would be one thing. It's raining.
And it's immediately kind of interesting, the outdoors, because it could be we could have handheld mics and we could be taking nice nature walks through the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And like for all those people who shut in,
yeah,
they'd be like, walk with us. It'd be great.
If we'd have had this idea like 4 years ago, we'd have cleaned up during the pandemic.
Shall we record one walking around? Will that be like those slow canal kind of video things they put on late night telly?
Oh, yeah, I actually quite like that. Yeah, why don't we do that?
Get a bit of energy going doing that.
I've had some quite good conversations just walking around. between like a pub and maybe getting a curry.
It's what we used to do when we were younger, didn't we? Yeah. We used to walk for hours talking rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. There wasn't much to do in Wolverhampton, so that was the prime attraction.
So immediately, by going to the parody note, you've come up with an interesting idea. And that's the lesson I want people to take away with them, because this is an improving podcast.
This is a rise and grind podcast, and now we just ground slightly.
The third one that caught my eye this week was, probably every day of my adult life, a man or a woman has told me that I am beautiful. Getting older is a relief and hopefully an end to women thinking that I'm flirting with their partner and men thinking being friendly is a green light.
Yeah, I've got bad news for you. That doesn't stop. Sorry, men are awful.
Well, you say it doesn't stop. It is a thing women do talk about, that they sometimes talk about going invisible in late middle age kind of thing.
That's true. But then there's that being friendly seen as a green light is a wishful thinking men thing.
What I thought about it, though, was just that I thought it was an interesting thing of just that too much of a good thing just isn't that great. All the comments were either people going, ha ha, you published my confession, or they were going, oh, it's so terrible being beautiful. You know, there was like no sympathy for the actual point of view. And I felt sympathy for it, because it is this thing of being, imagine if you were rich, it would be pretty good to be pretty rich. But if you're so rich that you need security all the time and you're worried about your kids being kidnapped, there's probably a limit on how rich you want to be before it starts being a little bit of an impediment.
Yeah, you stop being yourself, you become a rich person. And maybe it's the same thing with being beautiful. You're not yourself anymore. You're the beautiful person.
You're just whatever is reflected back by people reacting to you, which is obviously not a problem.
Not a problem I have anymore, although in my younger days, of course. I think I had about a year, like between 31 and 32, where I was like...
You reckon that was when you were at your hottest, yeah?
Probably, yeah. Certainly when I had the most interest from people. But then that's also like pub closing time to a certain extent for like settling down, isn't it?
Can you remind me what was going on when you were 30, 31? I can't pinpoint it. What year are we talking?
2004, something like that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But it's when I got together with my future wife.
Uh-huh. And I was there that very night.
Smiling down from the ceiling.
I was sitting in the garden and you were going, oh, I think she likes me.
And do you know what? I was right and I've proved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ha!
And I went home and was sick.
Oh, my God. I think I was sick as well. But I mean, my own house. That was nice. The convenience that you have there.
Should we do just six confessions that made me laugh?
Yes.
Or made us laugh? I can't decide whether it's us or me. Okay, maybe if it's make me laugh and then whether you laugh, then it can be an us.
That could be the judge. I sit here stony-faced.
It just made us laugh. Fessel. It just made us laugh. Ha-ha. Fessel.
Okay, so I picked out like six from the last week. Not really my fess, but fuck it. I did Weight Watchers with my mate and I still laugh that she thought gravy was free, so she drank pints of it all week. She put on 7 pounds at the weigh-in and stormed out that it was unfair that gravy points weren't clear.
I like that she was drinking pints of gravy.
It's something I want to do.
It's not a pleasant thing to do. Why? I like gravy, but I don't think...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never drank a pint of gravy, but maybe I could try it. Maybe it is nice. Don't make people make like up a... Like to go and watch the football, make up some Bisto. Is that...
I think like a stock is different to like thick Bisto gravy with like slightly sludgy with some mushrooms in and stuff. It's nice, but I also like in this one that 7 pounds is a really believable amount. It's a very specific amount of like, yeah, that is possibly years from eating too much gravy.
Yeah, it makes a change. The normal one about Weight Watchers is people going, my secret is cocaine, so much cocaine.
Oh.
That one's been submitted about 15 times.
You had the one about going to the first one with loads of stuff in your pockets and then...
Yes, yeah, slimmer of the year. Okay, let's go to the next one that made me laugh. After much pushing, my wife agreed to a threesome, but she surprised me with the choice of partner. Assumed it'd be one of her girls from work, but I was shocked when Pete, our gardener, rang the bell. Had to follow through. He does great work on the hedges, and I couldn't risk losing him.
He's very blank, very Les Dawson, does best hole there.
You were going to blankety blank.
Been watching a lot of blankety blank lately, so different eras.
Well, as a little preview of like next week, because we were talking about the idea of doing a little like fess hole game show.
Oh.
I thought I'd do a blankety blank round because I was like looking at the stuff and go, what can I do with this?
It's a good game show. It's sadly off its game these days.
But I thought what I could call it is just wankety wank. There's no copyright problem then.
But then the thing when you leave the word is then he had to have a wank. It's like, well, that's the thing already. I've
broken the concept.
Broken the concept.
But I could do the theme tune at least.
See, that is also one of the things I love about Blankety Blank is the absolute commitment to one melody for every single
super
thing.
Match game.
Super match game. Super match game. But I don't see why you'd be surprised that your wife would choose somebody that she would quite like to have sex with if she gets to choose the partner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we are going to do the Miss Marple on it being Billy Bullshit, then I could imagine, not if I've ever had this conversation with my lady partner, but if you did broach the subject of the threesome, then you'd be like, the next thing, you'd be like, who? And you might be suggesting some names kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, of course you'd have the conversation. I was just thinking, is this like that thing where someone introduces you to their friend? They go, oh, you guys will get on like a house on fire. And you're like, they're the most annoying fucking person in the world. They've like seen some quality in the two of you that they think is the same. And yeah, it's like, yeah. I'm a bit nerdy about like Dungeons and Dragons or something. Yeah, yeah, and then that guy is dressed as a wizard.
It's the funfair mirror, isn't it, of like the horrible.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. This is horrible now. And imagine that in a threesome where it's like, this is how my wife sees me. This guy is what she sees in me. Like, oh my God.
Does your partner try and fix you up with male friends every so often?
Actually, yes. I did wonder where you were going with that. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, there is a slight thing of like, why don't you hang out with my friend's husband? It's like, well, because the thing we have in common is that we're generally quite nice, friendly guys, and we have to spend time together because you are friends. It's not that we have anything in common. Outside of this, he loves to get drunk and go to the football, and I don't. So we don't really want to hang out. He's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Kat's tried to fix me up repeatedly with this guy who ostensibly I should like, and I do like him. But the fact that she's tried to make me friends with him makes me go, no. So sorry, Steve.
Your little approved friend.
I mean, he seems quite nice. He's like a journalist. He's written some really interesting books about, what do you call it, about old computer games and stuff like that. So he is totally up my street. But that somehow is, being shoved, forced into it, is just...
And also very much like, Rob likes this kind of thing.
Rob likes this tiny little pathetic world. Go and be pathetic in the corner together. Right, okay, should we go on to the next one? Okay, the next one that made me laugh was, I no longer enjoy many of my favourite comedies now that I'm in my 40s and I'm much less successful in my life than the supposed losers David Brent, Michael Scott and Mark Corrigan. I can only dream of being a regional manager of an office supplies company or owning a two-bedroom flat in Croydon.
That's very true, isn't it?
I'm not laughing now. I've never read that.
It's like also when the old character is on it and you're like, oh, I'm older than that guy.
Oh, God.
That's a young actor playing an old guy and that's what they think old people are like. Oh, Jesus.
I'm going through I'm going through a Sex and the City marathon at the moment.
The show or the...
The show, yeah. The show. And they asked Carrie, you're the character in the show, what was the oldest man you would date? And she said 50. And I was like, yes, I could possibly date Carrie for 1 year in the show.
How old was she in that show at that point?
It'd be season two. I don't know. She's probably 36, something like that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, in fairness, like...
I mean, I don't desperately want to date her, but the idea that I could be included in the show kind of thing as a potential...
Oh, I see in your headcanon, up as like this cool British guy that she's met. Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking there's that thing of like, as you know, that thing of hanging out with people who are like 15 years younger than you and sort of feeling like you're going to crumble into dust. Like, you feel perfectly fine and then you're like, oh, it's like in Trumpton. And they're like, what is that? As I've said, I had to explain like Sweeney. Battle of the Planet. The Sweeney, yes, that was one. It's like, yeah, let's do this video. I like the opening of the Sweeney. And then I had to find the Sweeney on YouTube.
To read out another one I enjoyed this week, I had the opportunity to fly in Concorde. On reaching Mach 2, I went to the loo and I tossed myself off, facing forward so the velocity of my spurts would be added to the velocity of the plane. For a few sweet moments, my glop was the fastest of all mankind's.
I mean, you wouldn't want to do that on a, like if it was accelerating, would you, or something? Your thrust back into your chair and...
Oh, I see what you mean. They would push you backwards, right?
They push you backwards.
I mean, how powerful is your semen?
Not you're the, doing well at not your the age. Reaction, not like a shotgun kind of recoil kind of thing. Is it still the Mile High Club if you're solo?
It's definitely something that I've done, I'm afraid. I have been a solo member of the Mile High Club, not on a Concorde, but on a very, very boring, like EasyJet.
I did consider it, but there was too much of a queue, possibly to join the Mile High Club.
Got two more I enjoyed this week. Husband loves dry roasted peanuts.
That's enough. My God.
Husband loves dry roasted peanuts and reads about different types and different roasting processes. I can't stand it. It's so beige. I went to my friend's house and had a threesome with her and her husband just to feel normal. Just enjoyable swerve in that one.
The threesome is like the punchline, isn't it? That you just need for everything. My God.
He dropped litter, so I shagged his dad.
It's made me interested in dry roasted peanuts now, though. That's the thing.
They make me wheeze. The dust,
oh, yeah.
Sort of like, you know, becomes airborne, and I just start going
like opening a mummy's tomb.
The only thing that produces an asthmatic attack in me is dry roasted peanut dust.
But not an allergy to peanuts.
No, dust. It's just literally the fine particles. Think about it, for me, works really badly.
Oh, wow.
It's not lethal, but it's just wheezy and unpleasant.
I just don't find they taste like anything else particularly, so it just made me intrigued what they were flavoured with. Maybe I don't want to know. Maybe that'll make my wife go off and have a threesome. Yeah.
Okay, one last one that amused me. Her confession, wife came home from a trip to Liverpool ecstatic that she had met Paul O'Grady at the train station and got a few pics with him. Had to explain that he passed away last year, checked the photos, and it was just some random guy who, to be fair, did look a lot like him.
I like the guy just running with it, unless it really was Paul O'Grady.
Have you ever run with it? Have you ever been mistaken for anyone?
No, I did think that I met Jeff Capes once, and I don't know if it was Jeff Capes, but he said he was Jeff Capes, but he might have just been, he was randomly at a hotel that I was staying at, and I was like, oh, are you Jeff Capes? And he was like, he laughed, and then the lady he was with was like, oh, you mean Superman Capes? Yeah, it is him. And I was like,
and so you just
is
left,
that him?
You
I don't
left,
know. Yeah, I don't know.
I've denied twice who I am.
Wow, like,
yeah, like
Jesus.
Yeah. Like one was just like, some girl from school in some nightclub, and for some reason I was in a bad mood, and I was like, no, I'm not him.
Wow.
She must have just thought, well, how mentally ill is this person?
This is a thing that you sort of share with my wife, is that you hate to be recognised in public by people randomly.
I remember there was a time when I was with you, I'd been on some rubbish TV show, like to be a talking head.
I Love the 90s or something.
It was some terrible shit. And it was because my ex was a TV producer, so very occasionally, just to fill space, it'd be like they'd be asking, you'd just be like on these things. And then we were going to the Imperial War Museum, and the lady on the tickets recognized me from this show, and I went completely into paranoid. No,
I remember that. You really froze up, and it was very weird because of all the things, the Imperial War Museum, I like war and I like the 90s. I guess specific wars. But yeah, obviously, Sean's had the things where...
Because she works as a doctor and she doesn't
she doesn't like people going thank you and stuff. Yeah. People literally said thank you and she hates it so much.
So it'd be like someone in the street going, you help me with my verrucas.
They don't even say that. They'll just say things like, you've made a real difference in my life and I'm so grateful. And she's like, she really doesn't like it because it's her job and it's things she does in her job. And she doesn't want to be like... walking around making a dirty joke or something, and then someone walks up and they think less of her for not being professional all the time. So I think that's probably a thing you get when you have these kind of professions, isn't it? I think probably vets have the same thing. I mean, that's not to run down being a doctor, obviously, but you know, some things like that, like, yeah, you're not supposed to socialize where you work.
Don't shit on your own doorstep.
That too, as well, of course.
I don't know. I mean, I have been recognised in the past and been fine with it. I don't know. It just depends what mood you're in, isn't it? It's sort of like...
If you don't want the hassle, if you just like, I just want to wander around this exhibition of propaganda.
I suppose it's sort of like just, it's like being in a dream and suddenly, oh God, I'm naked and doing my exams or something. It's sort of like suddenly feeling exposed when you can feel quite anonymous walking around.
I think I've only been recognised a couple of times by people, like literally weirdly. oh, you did a comedy show like 2 months ago at this thing. Oh, shoot. That reminds me. Yes, I did a comedy show and I bombed really badly, like so badly. It was like a long time ago, not like now.
You do an excellent job now.
I'm going to do a superb job by just doing it myself without any audience. It's fine. Yeah, it was in a quite big comedy club down in Clapham. And there was a stag party there. And anyway, long story short, I was rubbish. I was absolutely rubbish. Deservedly did very badly. But then I left and went to the station very downhearted and stuff. And these two girls came up to me and, oh, God, yeah, I recognise you from, you were on at the comedy club before. And I was like, yeah, I was. And they went, oh, you were so brave. So brave the way you carried on. I was like, thank you. As my husks of my heart just finally fell to ash.
A quick ad break. Dear Fessel, H-O-N-G, Bouvant. After 15 pints of beer on a business trip in Germany, I stood up, farted, followed through, and covered the bed and most of the bedroom in liquid poo. Turns out I have a wheat beer intolerance.
H-O-N-G, Bouvant. Bouvant.
Well, Fessel will tell you what won't cover your hotel room in liquid shit. And that thing is Buhong, our sponsor this week. Buhong is a low-alcohol East Asian beer that is also wheat-free, gluten-free, vegan, and it's about 27 calories in a can, so you don't feel all bloaty. Hooray!
Buhong.
As there are sponsors this week, you can get 10% off cans using the code buhong.beer/hole. That's buhong.beer/hole.
Buhong.
Just buy some today. Now back to the episode.
So this section is the highest rated confessions of the last few weeks, according to Favs. There is a jingle.
Highest rated
holes. We've got three of these coming up, and one of the number three, so we're in reverse order. 24,000 favs this one's got, right?
That's a lot of favs.
And it goes, I add songs that I think my dad would like to a Spotify playlist. He died 8 years ago, but every so often I play it when I'm driving alone and I talk to him about them. It feels like we're listening together. I miss him every day. Love you, Dad.
Oh, another sweet one about sort of time traveling using technology.
Yeah, it's the ones that do the big numbers is the sweet stuff. And I'm just absolutely wrong by always pushing the horrible stuff.
It works as a palate cleanser, doesn't it?
Yeah, I did get a message from someone the other day going, Rob, for the third Fessel book, what you should do is just do the nice ones so it can be a present for old people.
A present for old people.
That's literally what it was saying, yeah. I don't know if they'd tried to give one of the previous books to an old person. They've gone, oh, God, it killed them.
Yeah. They need nice anecdotes, Rob, for the old people.
The second most popular at 31,000 favs. My date wasn't going too well. She lost interest in me within 30 minutes, probably because I kept talking too much out of nervousness. She popped into the public loos. When she returned, she caught me playing peekaboo with a random dog someone had tied up outside the shop. Married now. Not really a confession, but it's a sweet little story of how they met.
Sweet story. I presume it wasn't a reciprocal peekaboo with the dog. The dog was doing it too, like the behind the ears. And then.
Oh.
A lovely story.
If we could just have this as a little video thing and you could pretend to be the dog peeking out. Right, do you want to know the most popular one at 68,000 favs?
I do.
I can't believe the numbers these things get. You know, it's sort of like, is it really 68,000 people clicking fav? Or is it just Elon's Musk?
They're like pussy in bio people.
Yeah. Right, anyway, a few years ago, friends and I deliberately left out a friend from a night out. He somehow managed to be walking past the bar and he saw us. We locked eyes, looked at his phone, he looked up and he walked off out of our lives. Nobody saw him again. Mike, I'm so sorry.
Ooh.
I did quite like a reply on this.
Oh, yeah?
Mike drop.
Dearie me.
But yeah, people loved that one just because, like, I don't know, they just related to it. Can you relate to it, Dave? Can you do some relating to it?
I'm relating to it right now.
You're just scrolling your phone.
That's how I relate to everything these days.
But your job here is to make this human. Rather than me mechanically reading these out.
The most human man available. No, I was going to say that, obviously, I think probably mentioned before, like people, I don't know, you sort of see people unexpectedly, like people turning up at your wedding that you sort of didn't invite to the ceremony. And they just sort of randomly nearby. It's sort of realizing now that there's a chance that someone who's referred to in this will actually hear me talking about
it,
which is dangerous.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of people who were invited to our wedding reception who were around in the area in the wedding ceremony.
You were saying you didn't invite them to the actual wedding, but they turned up to the wedding.
Invite them to the
periphery.
Evening.
Yeah.
So they turned up on the periphery of the morning bit and then emerged properly in the evening.
And they were around in the morning because we weren't quite sure. They
didn't refer to it. And one of them didn't turn up to the evening thing either. Just sort of was sighted and then just didn't turn up. It was very weird. Didn't see them again for like years. Maybe that was the same thing. They were like, wait, they were getting married?
A few years ago, I went to some guy's wedding and I didn't really know anyone there. And then you have that new friend for the day. And somehow this guy was my drinking buddy for the evening. And then about 5 years later, I bumped into him in the street. And he was like, hey, Rob! And
Whoa.
He was just like, I actually didn't know what to say to him. So it was like, I'd so compartmentalized him as like that guy who I'd never speak to again.
I went to a wedding and was at a table with people, got on really well with, really nice. And then started a new job. And I got introduced to one of the people on a team we worked closely with, and it was a girl from the table.
Yeah.
And I went, oh yeah, hello. And it wasn't her.
Oh,
it wasn't
God.
Her.
Oh,
and
God.
I just couldn't talk to her for the rest of the time. It's like, oh
yeah, when you make that sort of faux pas and then you just crumble into yourself and that's it, done.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah,
what?
Oh no. Anonapin.
This is the Anonapin bonus round. We also run a sister project to Fessel where we collect your opinions. It's currently at 200,000 followers, so it's exactly one-fifth as popular as Fessel. It's basically our red-headed stepchild, but it's secretly the one we love the most. I see Fessel and Anonapin as an entire alternative news network. Fessel is the news, and Anon is the awful columnists. So I've picked out a few that I found interesting this week. Okay, I'll read them out. If a photographer followed any of us around for long enough, there'd be a photo of us looking stupid eating a bacon sandwich. Yet that's the defining photo of that election and not the photo of just Call Me Dave eating a hot dog with a knife and fork.
That's interesting because I once went on a deep dive of pictures of Ed Miliband for a project. And it was weird because he's a perfectly normal looking guy, but it was quite hard to find photographs of him not blinking or being slightly blurry. It was very strange.
You think he lends himself to terrible photos?
I think maybe he's just not very photogenic. Nothing wrong with him or respect to him, but yeah.
All it made me think about was like, if you followed me around, you'd just find out how many sausages I ate. I don't know if I eat them weirdly. And it's like, would that become, if the context of I was a politician, like the quantity of sausages that I consume, would that become like Rob Six Sausages Manual?
Is sausages the kind of food that you're most anxious about being seen to be eating? Is there a way you eat them that is...
Well, it just happened to, when I saw that one, it happened to be the day that I had just done a Fessel show. I was staying in a Premier Inn hotel and I was having the all-you-can-eat buffet breakfast. And I'd eaten six sausages. I was imagining like the paparazzi... Going, there he is, eating the sausages again. I'm thinking it would be the perfect tabloid kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's not that big deal, but it's something you can have an opinion about because it's a little bit greedy. It speaks to my character being greedy.
Mm.
but it's quite relatable.
Yeah, and also they could have a man dressed as a sausage, like dancing around behind you in photographs.
So would you be more or less likely to vote for a man who was known for eating too many sausages, do you think?
I don't think it would actually affect it in any way, but if it did affect it, I think I would be more likely to vote for somebody who is reportedly eating too many sausages because it's such a ridiculous...
I think it would play against me because it'd be like, he eats six sausages while children starve.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think they'd bring like hungry dogs to beg near you and then photograph it selfishly stuffing his face.
Another opinion I've enjoyed this week. It's about time we retired the horrible phrase, there's more than one way to skin a cat. We should replace it with something like, there's more than one way to tie a shoelace, because that expresses the idea sufficiently well without the need to invoke an image of mutilating a much-loved animal.
I mean, surely there's more than one way to skin a cat means there's lots of ways to do it, but they're all horrible.
It just sort of set me off imagining, like, because I just thought it was such a dull rewrite of, like, that phrase.
yeah, I see. Very anodyne, isn't it?
My rewrite would be, there's more than one way to shit in a lift.
There's at least four.
You can climb through the little hatch at the top, drop it down. And then I just sort of like started to find myself rewriting idioms. And I've got three here and they're just terrible. Those in glass houses shouldn't throw up.
Okay.
There's plenty more fish in Marillion. This one's awful. Too many cocks spoil the breath.
Okay.
Right, another opinion I enjoyed was we advance technology too quickly. Just look at what people can do today with their Spectrums and Commodore 64s. Phenomenal.
That is true, though, isn't it?
They can do
incredible things with the Spectrum these days.
It is true. But obviously, they were talking about it from a sort of like that kind of like nerdy demo thing where people like get these really kind of intense coders that will like push these things to the limits.
Yeah.
You can do really quite amazing music on like, you know, the ZX Spectrum. It's only got this like sound chip that can only beep. It can just do a single tone. But if you do it very quickly, you can get a zzz, and then you can manipulate that up and down and actually create 8-channel music.
Whoa.
It's crazy what you can do. I mean, it gives you a headache. It sounds like nails going around
it. It gives you Havana syndrome, but it's still music.
But what I feel is really important about this idea is that I just think, forgetting the kind of like pushing the technology, just the idea that we've missed thousands of really incredible and interesting games because we've pursued kind of like graphical wow. Tetris, for example, is a phenomenal game that's still really playable now. And there's nothing in it that technically can't be played literally on a ZX81. It's a character screen kind of like game. And obviously we had the birth of Wordle a couple of years ago that took off. And again, that could have works on a very, very limited computer. And I just feel that there must be so many incredible games that we've not found because we're looking in the wrong place. We've been looking in this place over there that's about the wow instead of the...
It's like people pursuing kind of photorealistic art
when
you could be doing so many more interesting things visually, right? You're like, I've got to capture the exact feeling of being a space marine shooting someone in the head around the corner. Which is fine, but it's not for everyone. And you could be doing something more interesting.
Do you want another opinion, Dave?
I would love opinions.
Umbrellas are useless. The slightest bit of wind...
Jesus Christ, I didn't want that opinion.
Umbrellas are useless. Slightest bit of wind and they turn inside out. Or rain gets underneath. Just wear a hood or learn to live with the rain.
Learn to live with the rain.
Learn to live with the damp.
Just die instead of using an umbrella.
It just sort of set me off, though. It was like, you know, when I was a kid, my mum was always trying to stuff an umbrella and say, oh, it's out, it's wet out. You need to go have an umbrella. And I'd be like, no, I don't care. I'll get wet.
You're such a punk.
But I've kept that attitude into adulthood and I've never taken an umbrella anywhere. And I reckon I was ahead of the curve for that. They've got to be in decline, surely.
I don't know. I remember like a few years back in like Canary Wharf, they'd be all around and there are, maybe there are fewer these days, but you'd have that annoying thing where you've got your umbrella and everyone else got the umbrella and there are varying levels of roof that water is trickling down. The water is finding its way down to you through other people's umbrellas as you're sort of trying to move around. And also you can't really move very fast.
So you would go out with an umbrella?
I used to, but I have learned the secret of wearing a hat instead. Like a really uncool hat with a wide brim is loads better than an umbrella because you have your hands free. and you might look like a bit of an idiot, but also you're dry.
Because I want to pivot this to the Sex and the City rewatch podcast. Who's the ginger one in it? I've forgotten the names now.
Not Miranda?
Miranda, yeah, yeah. She, in an episode the other day, was wearing a hood and hat combo. She had the hood up and then a hat over it. And none of her friends were commenting on her. And that'd be like the only thing you'd be talking about. Miranda, what are you doing?
Doesn't she know the hat goes on first, then the hood?
You can't combine the hood and the hat.
Well, I mean, Bruce Willis used to combine the hood and the hat when he was in Unbreakable. He'd have a baseball cap and then he'd have the hood over the top. That's what
he'd
do.
Okay, that's acceptable. That's classic. No, no, she would do it the other way around. She was the reverse Bruce.
You look like a cartoon character balancing a little tiny hat on top of your big hooded head.
But I want a deep dive into how that decision got made. Did it influence any fashion? I mean,
it was a fashion-forward show, wasn't it? So maybe that was actually something people were doing. Yeah, it's like Carrie wearing tutus and stuff.
Yeah, she does that in the title sequence. I think in this particular sequence, they were like sitting in a bit of a park and Carrie was dressed like a sort of like Austrian milkmaid and no one was commenting on that either. Do you want one more opinion from the opinion bin?
Fill my ears with your opinions.
Opinion. Child-free weddings are bullshit. If my kids aren't allowed in, then I'm not going either. No one in my family is a second-class citizen.
Oh, wow.
What was interesting about this, though, was it how much it blew up. Like, this has been the biggest one on the account for ages. It got 1.8 million views, thousands of, like, retweets and quotes, and everyone got absolutely furious about it.
Wow.
People basically going, sod you. This is why you're not invited to my wedding, kind of thing. The majority of the vocal opinion was on the side that, yeah, child-free weddings are great, but it's still got like 3,000 favs. So I felt like I feel people were very split, but the vocal people were the ones disagreeing.
Does it depend on your age? If you actually have kids, then you're like, actually, child-free weddings are not as good because I have to get a babysitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the split is. It could be, yeah, yeah.
What do I do with my kid?
We can't do this justice, but it deserves like a 40-minute kind of thing in itself, why this is such a sensitive subject.
I mean, and not to harp on my wedding, but we also did have somebody who angrily refused our invitation because we hadn't explicitly said that children were welcome, because we just assumed that people would turn up with their kids. As someone who's invited, there was like a little
babysitting thing
and they went around, they had a fun little time, they had their own little room and stuff, and it was good. But yeah, they were like, no, we're not coming. You can't exclude our child. And it was like, well, all right, fair enough. I guess we'll have you at the wedding.
Did you make it up with them at all?
They were some relatives of my wife's. Yeah. They're not that close these days, but part of that was them just having this weird, like, turn about the wedding.
Yeah.
It was like, you can turn up without your child, that's fine, or come with your child. I assume for most of our friends at that time who had kids, it was kind of a deal where they'd turn up with their kids, because what else are you going to do with them? We want. If we're going to have your dad and your mum, then artificially pretend there's not a child. I mean, I can understand why you might not want it. And if you've got sufficient guests, you want that as well, then why not? But
you're fence-sitting on this
one. I'm fence-sitting on this one, but
everyone's got a point. It's all okay.
It's all okay. Everyone's fine. I'm surprised. I mean, I think it's phrasing it like, well, my kids aren't second-class citizens is definitely going to rile people up, isn't it? But then, like I said, the people at our wedding, who not at our wedding, were also like that. They were like, oh, God, well, my kid comes first, so we're not coming to your wedding. It did save us, like, 60 quid or something on the food for them. So, you know, it was a bonus.
Your red velvet cake.
Yeah, we did have a red velvet cake.
Are you ready for the best comments this week on Fessel?
I am ready.
It's the best. Come as a Fessel. These are the best.
This is the section where we recognise the thing that the critics say about Fessel is true. The comments are the funniest bit. Well, it's partly true once you block all the bots, crypto bros, OnlyFans girls and engagement farmers. And this is where my notes say, Rob explains engagement farming.
Tell me how to do it.
Well, okay. Basically, what happened was a year ago, Elon Musk changed the way Twitter worked And so people can get paid for views on their tweets kind of thing. And there's a threshold, I can't remember, but maybe if you get 250,000 views, you can start getting paid or something.
Yeah.
And people quickly realized a way to game this was to go to popular accounts and reply. Sorry, combination of like buy a blue tick, mm-hmm. because that means your replies get seen by more people, and reply to popular accounts. And so they'll just go to whatever the big account is. I mean, in the world of Fessel, there's like a load of other shitty accounts where people are doing funny cat moments and whatever, yeah. you know, there's that whole world, or that British, I'm so British, my teeth fell out, whatever that account's called.
Oh,
so very
know.
British. Yeah. yeah. And so all the replies under that are people going, hey, ha ha, or, and they're just engagement farming and to get the numbers up. And I just block them. I block them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Fessel's basically still moderately okay on the replies.
I've seen a lot of people turn up and have like very spicy opinions about things. And I presume that's the same thing because the engagement is people replying to you.
Yeah, I mean, the really spicy opinions isn't as bad as just people just going, hey, what's up? And it's just absolutely nothing, because just combined with the blue tick, it will get thousands of views, you know.
Is that the reason for those ads that are turning up where they're just going, hey, music is good? Or you see that one of as advertising the concept of money, where it's like hashtag money.
Quite probably. I haven't looked, seen that, but yeah, probably. Anyway, so best comments after we've deleted all the dickheads. So if I read the Fess and you can read the comment, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm a privately educated high flyer who earns over £200,000 per year. I regularly book weekends away in forgotten northern towns just to use Tinder and sleep with the locals from the estates. They are much better in bed than the home counties.
That's Rita Sue and Tarquin too.
Thanks, the dude is pro-EU for that. I'm a 6'4" bloke. I met with a much shorter bloke in Hyde Park at night for a bit of gay fun. I have a large wart.
Oh!
I have a large wart to the right of my chest, and he sucks on this while I wanks him off, believing it was my nipple. It felt nice, but I noticed the wart had vanished when I showered later the same night.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back 30 seconds before I read this.
Thanks, Mark Summers, for that comment. And my final one from like the best comments. Right, we'll do the confession first. Every Saturday morning, I do the groceries and I met a lady and we walk around Tesco's and we shop together. We just chat and gossip. I cannot tell my wife now as it's been going on for 2.5 years.
Unexpected misses in the bagging area.
Thank you, Frosty, for that comment. And we've got another bonus section, Dave. Do you know what it is?
I think I can see in a document here that it says rejected fessholes.
For exclusive bonus material, here's some stuff we didn't run this week on the account and why. The thing that haunts me most is when I was a new driver, I killed a family of ducks. They were crossing the road, and I thought they would fly off like normal birds when I got close. They didn't. Some died. Some didn't die. Most died. I felt bad for a long time.
Oh, God.
I don't even know why I didn't use that one. Should I use that one?
I mean, you can use it afterwards.
Well, Clarice, have the lambs stopped screaming? I honestly thought that one would upset people. Is there anything that you've felt long-term guilt about, Dave?
Nothing at all.
Have you done that story about you being convinced that you'd...
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's true. I never mentioned that. Yeah. A few years after I went to uni, I started an MA and had to do the whole student thing all over again. So I, you know, rented a flat and did all the kind of stuff. And I started it up and I just couldn't hack it. I just really got really depressed. I just stopped turning up. And then I just, in the end, I just sort of left the flat behind and left all the stuff in it as well. I just sort of pretended it didn't happen.
So you, you left the course and you left the course flat.
And I left the flat pretended and I like just pretended it didn't happen. I just occasionally have that kind of pang of like, did mess that up.
Yeah.
And it took me quite a long time, like a few years, probably this year, actually, I think. Was it the year before when I suddenly realized that actually, that was a recurring dream that I had. I never did the course. I never booked the flat. That's never happened to me. I was just feeling guilt over a dream that I had like maybe 2 or 3 times.
I just thought it's so perfect, that idea. And it's that it was so understandable because, like, when the guilt bubbled up, you were like, push it away.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so you never had the realization that this never happened.
This never happened to me. I didn't mess it up.
And it's a supreme insight into how to lose your mind.
Like, literally 10 years, I was like, oh, God, I really wish I messed that up.
I shouldn't have fucked that up, but I don't want to think about it because I'll feel bad if I think about it. That bullshit. Oh, no. Okay, the next rejected one was, I submit fesses instead of going to therapy. Thank you, Rob. And I reject that one because it's too self-referential. But also, I think the idea that this is a good replacement for therapy is dangerous. And I shouldn't encourage that. And if you think you need therapy, please go to therapy. But not too much.
Because then you wouldn't provide us with content.
And the last one I rejected this week, it was too silly, but it made me laugh. And I thought, it's not true, but it made me laugh. I caught my son with a vacuum attached to his member. I'm horrified that Henry would stoop so low. That vacuum needs to go.
Oh, God.
And I just thought, well, if I publish that, I'm just going to get all those replies going, oh, it's just like, there's some stand-up submitting his material to see if it works, isn't it? You know,
didn't happen of the year.
Are you ready for the outro, Dave?
I am. No, I'm not ready. I want to keep going for another hour. Let's find some more. Ready for the outro.
Let's do the 12-inch remix kind of thing. Right, the outro. This is the bit where our producer asks us to like, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Can you do that, Dave?
I can do that. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe even recommend us to your mum.
That so makes me want to say something rude there. And I'm not going to say it.
You wrote that word.
And to remind people that Fesshole isn't just here to make you laugh. It's here to make you have like a naked lunch moment of realization about the passage of time.
God.
I'll read this one out. I went out on a night for the first time in ages and I asked the DJ to play Mr. Brightside. He said, sorry, we aren't playing Golden Oldies tonight. It was the exact moment I realised I've gotten old. Bye. Say goodbye, Dave.
Bye. Goodbye, Dave.